society has become so jaded, so superficial, that hardly an eyebrow was raised when some evil network genius decided to combine greed and sexuality and romance and instant gratification in a TV series known as Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? Suddenly, marriage was no longer an end in and of itself. It was a means. A means to getting rich. It was not a tool of fulfillment emotionally and spiritually and physically. No, it was an instrument for instant gratification. And the notion, of course, is, despite the fact that rich celebrities discard their marriages about as fast as last year's fashion, if we can marry someone rich, we'll have instant happiness. I want to offer two questions this morning. What truly makes for a successful relationship? What are the themes that define a lasting love? And the answers, I think, are found in a biblical book whose theme is the romancing of Ruth. A story that begins with an incalculable element of relationships, which is resilience. Resilience. Even our marriage vows acknowledge that mutual resilience is key to a lasting relationship. When we stand at an altar, we pledge to honor each other for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death do us part. We acknowledge at the marriage altar we're going to need resilience. Naomi, who has lost both of her sons, including Ruth's husband, just says to her daughters-in-law, "I have nothing to offer you. Stay among your own people, and I will slink back to Bethlehem." Ruth will not allow her love to be quenched. No, she says, "I will go with you." Even though she knows Naomi offers her nothing except uprootedness. No protection, no prospects. But Ruth goes with her back to Naomi's ancestral home. And once there, she doesn't wallow in self-pity. Even though her heart has been broken, she doesn't remain enchained within her grief. She doesn't stay imprisoned in her sorrow. No, she summons powers of resilience. And she says to Naomi, "I am going to get us something to eat." And she puts herself back into the public eye. She can be an inspiration to people whose hearts have been broken, perhaps their trust betrayed, perhaps their hopes dashed. Ruth's life has been upended, but instead of focusing upon her uprootedness, she puts herself out there, drawing upon powers of resilience. And in so doing, she serves as the catalyst for the romancing of Ruth. The second aspect of this relationship is an almost instant developing of mutual respect between Ruth and Boaz. When she goes out into Boaz's field to work, to gather grain, she catches Boaz's eye, which I suspect she intended to. And Boaz was not quick to ignore the new girl in town. It's kind of like the first time I laid eyes on Melissa. I waited till the professor called roll and wrote her name down in my notebook. Boaz asked, "Who is this girl?" "Oh, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law who decided to come back here to Bethlehem with her." And so Boaz calls her over and says, "Young lady, you work with my other employees, my female employees. Stay in my field. I will tell my employees to protect you. And if you are thirsty, you go to my wells to drink and take your rest in my field." And Ruth says, "How can you be so generous to a penniless stranger?" And he says to her, "I have heard of your fidelity and your loyalty to Naomi. And that kind of fidelity deserves some kind of reward." And she says, "My profound appreciation is as deep as your profound unwarranted kindness." Now, reading between the lines, yeah, they're flirting. They're flirting. But they're also expressing to each other that almost instantly they have a profound mutual respect, which is a cornerstone of relationship that leads to romance. But our society has a very incomplete view of romance. It thinks of romance as that period of infatuation early in a relationship. That is like confusing the preface of a novel with the whole plot. Romance is meant to be a characteristic of a relationship throughout its life. And that requires romance of a sophisticated and enduring kind that has its basis on one great truth. Great romance is engendered when both people in a relationship think that the other's health and welfare and happiness is more important than their own. When two people spend their lives believing that their beloved's health and happiness and fulfillment is more important than their own, they create a relationship of joy and excitement and creative tension. Fairy tales represent love as a struggle, and the fairy tales are right. But the struggles are not against castles and dragons. The struggles are against the numbing effect and grind of everyday life that tries to quench our awareness of love's joy. The great sin in relationships is the sin of taking each other for granted. But a romance that puts the other's welfare above your own gives you a reason to create an excitement that there is always a twinkle in your eye when you see your beloved, whether you're 28 or 88. You see a beauty in them that nobody else sees. And that romance is meant to endure for all of your days. That relationship also depends upon an awareness of the rhythms of our lives. The rhythms of our lives. How does Boaz express his love? He does everything in his power to make sure that Ruth has food and shelter and protection and a structure for life. How does Ruth express her love? She risks her reputation to sneak into the threshing house
and lie down at Boaz's feet and uncover them. How does she know to do that? Because Naomi knows this is the night he spends his night on the threshing house winnowing the barley. This is the night he will spend it, eat his meal, and sleep in the threshing floor. This is the night when he's going to eat late and probably take an adult beverage late. He's going to be a little tipsy. Then you go and lie down at his feet. Which in essence is her making a marriage proposal. And when he covers her with his blanket, he accepts. But it required Naomi's knowledge of the rhythms of that culture. Let me update what I'm saying. A husband comes home from a long day of work in which he has had a series of difficult conversations with querulous people. And he hits the door about the same time his wife, who has been teaching school and had a long day of battling difficult children, and she is hungry for adult conversation, and he has had all the adult conversation that he can stomach. Now they are bringing clashing expectations to that door. And there's conflict unless they're aware of the rhythms of each other's life. She knows that he needs about a half hour of ESPN Sports Center before he is ready for adult interaction. And he knows to cut the television off and give her his attention to listen to what she needs to say about her day. Awareness of each other's rhythms are an important aspect of romance. Also, there is a need from time to time in relationships to restructure. This whole relationship between Boaz and Ruth is because of her willingness to restructure her whole life. Naomi says, stick with the known, stay with your people. And she says, no, entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I die. She's willing to restructure her whole life. When I think of this, I think of the first big fight Melissa and I had early in our marriage. Since she's cooking y'all's dinner, I can tell you it was all her fault. Actually, it was my fault. After we were married, the seminary ceased to regard her as an individual person, and she could only use the health infirmary as my wife, which meant I had to get my fee card validated, which just meant getting a sticker. But since I never went to the infirmary, I never bothered to get my fee card validated. But she said, I need you to do this for me. Well, yeah, I'll do that. She wasn't sick, and I had a lot of things to do, so I kind of put it down the to-do list. A few days later, do you have that fee card validated? Nah, I'll get it done tomorrow. Well, tomorrow went into next week. You got that fee card validated? Nah, I'll get it done. Finally, after a couple weeks, I went and got my fee card, got my sticker. Took about 15 minutes. But by then, I wasn't offering no information. You got that fee card validated? Yes. But I was so mad at you for nagging me, I wouldn't tell you I got it validated. And we both went, whoa. We realized an important lesson early in our marriage. Love is not enough. We loved each other deeply, but we realized we had not really been communicating. We had been arrogating certain rights and delegating certain responsibilities without any real give and take. So we restructured. I started cooking supper. So when she came home from work, we could sit at the little ice chest that was our dining room table, and we could eat and chat.
And that little difference, that little restructuring, made an enormous difference in our communication and in the vibrancy of our relationship. Of course, nothing is easy, especially love. Yeah, on the one hand, all Boaz had to do was throw his blanket over Ruth and they were engaged. But there were a host of cultural issues that might keep them apart. In fact, those challenges were so great that Ruth was not sure Boaz could overcome them. But Naomi knew her man. She said, look, Boaz is a man of enormous resolve. He will solve these problems today. And indeed, even though he was almost the next of kin to marry her, he was not the next one. So he went to that man and said, I'm offering you a piece of Naomi's property. But if you buy it, the young widow comes in the deal. Man said, don't need those kind of problems. And Boaz knew he had won his bride. When two people resolve that nothing is going to be more important in their lives than their beloved's happiness and welfare, that relationship is going to thrive. But there's one more aspect we often overlook in this story. When Boaz announces his engagement to Ruth, the city fathers say, oh, may she be like Rachel and Leah, who raised up Israel. And may you be renowned in Bethlehem, Boaz. In other words, the whole city surrounded them with love in the expectation that their relationship would not just replenish their lives, but would replenish the entire community. When I am doing premarital counseling with young people, I say to them, you're not just two people getting married. You are bringing together two families, two histories, two constellation of friends. Two great stories are coming as one. Your marriage has an impact on the entire community. They expect Ruth and Boaz to replenish the community even as they replenish each other. Our Christ, who seeks to replenish our lives every day, does so through the vehicle of relationships. And it is important when two people say and really mean, your God will be my God. Your God will be my God. Boaz and Ruth do replenish their community. They do bring renown to Bethlehem. Why? Because they had a son named Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse. And Jesse had a son named David. And David birthed our messianic hope. May your relationships replenish your lives and the life of this community of faith and the community at large. And may you truly be able to say, where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die. It's not a formula for marrying a millionaire, but it is a formula for gaining something much richer. May we pray together. Lord, you are indeed the foundation of our relationships.
And the more we base our lives upon your nurture and truth, the richer our love will be. May we gain direction from your Spirit each day on how to love the love of Christ. In the name of this Christ we pray. Amen.